Western society highly esteems the value of religious freedom. Section 116 of the Australian Constitution clearly states there should be no law which establishes or hinders any religious observance. This law protects the freedom of all members of our society to hold their own religious convictions without fear of attack. In one sense, this is what Paul was trying to tell his readers about 2,000 years ago. Paul wanted to defend the Christians in Galatia from being forced to observe rituals of law, such as circumcision. However, the freedom which Paul speaks about in this letter goes far beyond mere religious freedom. When Paul says in chapter 5, verse 1, that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free, he means true spiritual freedom, the freedom of being set free in Jesus' death and the resurrection. But before we talk about this real freedom, let us unpack the meaning of Easter. After all, this is why we are here today. Easter is a package deal, you see. It starts on Good Friday and ends on Easter Day. You cannot have Easter Day without Good Friday, nor can you have Good Friday without Easter Day. Why is that? Well, think about the main problems which humanity is facing: sin, evil, and death. No one has ever been able to escape the control of these things. But on Good Friday, Jesus gave his life to break these chains. Then on Easter Day, he rose from the grave, proving that the price had been fully paid. What he started on Good Friday was finished on Easter Day. All around the world today, investment companies, wealth educators, and financial advisors are all talking about financial freedom. They want to teach you how to follow certain steps in order to achieve the so-called financial freedom. Well, 50 years ago, you would not have heard of this term. I can never forget the first time I was severely punished by my parents was when I was in year 3. My parents discovered that I had borrowed 2 yuan, that is Chinese currency, 2 yuan from one of my classmates to buy a toy gun. Why did they make such a big deal about only 2 yuan? My dad said to me, "The punishment is for you to remember for the rest of your life, never borrow money from anyone. Because once you owe money, you will be in bondage till you pay back every cent." As I look back, I understand how different things were for my parents. Back in the good old days, no one needed to live with borrowed money. No one needed. But look at us today. I am proudly carrying a mortgage that is over 1 million times more than 2 yuan. And we are just a normal Australian household. Australia has the third most indebted household on earth, which means that our household debt is twice the world average. No wonder people were being drawn to the idea of financial freedom. We all want to be set free from the bondage of debt. But what about spiritual freedom? Shouldn't we want that even more? Jesus fully paid our debt of sin through his death and the resurrection. He has gained the ultimate spiritual freedom for us. And this is what Paul meant when he said, "It is for freedom that Christ had set us free. Now we do not owe Satan anything, for Satan was defeated at the cross. We do not have to deal with the problem of sin, for Jesus has dealt with it for us." And Jesus' resurrection means that death has lost its sting. We no longer fear death. And this is what Paul means by freedom. Satan, sin, and death must not dominate our lives anymore. And that's why Paul goes on to say in verse 1, "Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Stand firm. This is an important message for us to hear on Easter Day. If we are still so focused on the old lives of sin and death that we fail to walk in the newness of life, there's nothing for us to celebrate. Today, if we are still burdened by a yoke of slavery, there's nothing for us to celebrate. We must not spoil the joy of our purchased freedom by constantly going back to the old life. Let me finish by drawing your attention to five key words in our passage. Grace in verse 4, the Spirit in verse 5, righteousness in verse 5, love in verse 6, and truth in verse 7. These five words describe our freedom in Christ, the good things which we receive as free persons in Him, His grace, His Spirit, His righteousness, His love, and His truth are now the dominating force in our lives. But Paul also warns us to be careful in how we live out our freedom. Paul says in verse 7, "You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth?" You see, when you are running a race, you always look ahead and don't let anyone or anything cut in on you. But there will always be things that will distract us and try to pull us back. Our continued remorse over our failings, our deep fearfulness of guilt, our creation of new laws and requirements, our longing for the old life of sin, our sense of being deprived of worldly pursuit, and these are all ways which distract us from the fact the price has been paid. Another thing that can distract us is a feeling of spiritual inferiority. This is usually brought on by the presence of someone who we think is spiritually superior to us. They may not think of themselves as superior, but their actions and words overwhelm us. We feel that they are super Christians and we are second-class believers. Spiritual inferiority comes in many different guises. It may come from a person whose moral principles and behavior make you feel guilty. It can come from the abstainer, vegetarian, the greenie, the circumcised, who make us think that we haven't done enough to please God. And sometimes it comes from the super religious person. They wear their religious beliefs on their sleeve. They're always talking of praising the Lord and being in prayer. They turn every conversation into a matter of spirituality. They cannot even discuss football or boxing without talking of God's blessings. Their prayer life is amazing and the Bible reading is exhaustive. They can make you think that you are just not close enough to God. You are not suitable for being Jesus' disciple. You cannot be a leader. Therefore, stay where you are until you become a better Christian. And sometimes it is a super knowledgeable person. They know the Bible back to front. They have been to every conference, heard every famous speaker, and they make you just feel bad. Why can't you know that much Christian stuff? Again, Paul reminds us in today's passage that it is by His grace, His Spirit, His righteousness, His love, and His truth, not knowledge or outside appearance, that we live the resurrected life. When we allow ourselves to be put down by such people, it's as if we have let someone cut in on us to keep us from obeying the truth. If we do not understand the true meaning of Jesus' resurrection and find our places in Him, we will always be looking at those around us. We will be living by the law instead of by grace. We will be eternal debtors. Not having trusted in Jesus to pay our debt, we will be constantly borrowing money with compound interest. How dreadful it will be to become an internal spiritual debtor. Well, that's why we should be reminded Easter is about celebrating the empty tomb of Jesus. The empty tomb represents our ultimate spiritual freedom. Our debt is paid. We have been set free by Jesus' death and the resurrection. There is a marvelous freedom and liberty when we live by the grace of God. We have nothing to boast in except God. We do not look to ourselves or others to find our true significance. Rather, we look to God, who has kindly given us all things in Christ Jesus. We are free to walk into the new life, stand firm, and keep running the good race. That's what we need to be reminded of again and again, especially on Easter Day. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.